It has gone 9:34 Central African time. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We trust that you are doing well, Mufti Saab.
Yes, alhamdulillah, Maulana, all praise be to Allah. What about yourself, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal is, you know, one thing that has stuck with Mufti Saab is you say that there's no use complaining.
Yeah, nobody worries, Maulana.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, it's been a while since I've been on the program with you. According to my notes, the last we discussed was the Sajdatu Tilawa, and we spoke about the fact that if a person reads the tafsir of that verse, then the Sajda is not compulsory, but if a person reads the translation of that Sajda ayah, then Sajda becomes compulsory.
Yes, Maulana, I think that was the discussion we've had how many weeks ago, I'm not sure.
The 18th of February, that's the last one.
Oh, it's been quite a long, long time. In the meantime, I think it was Muradaya who was on now recently.
Gigi.
So we did, we're talking about almost 5 weeks, Mona.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, then yes, in between we spoke a little bit about the Christchurch crisis tragedy. And we discussed some perspectives on that. What are the perspectives from Islamic point of view, as well as going forward, what is required of the Muslim community? So that was something that was discussed on that Christchurch tragedy.
MashaAllah.
And I can't recall now what were the other things that were discussed in between. But yes, that was. Nevertheless, I think we've more or less completed our discussion on the Saturday Tilawat, Maulana, as far as I can recall.
Yes, we have.
Right. Today, I was just thinking about one topic that perhaps we could touch on, which is quite a contemporary matter and issue. I think also of great international significance. It's relating to this attack on Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani.
Yes.
Hafizahullah, one of our great luminaries and scholars of the time,
Allah,
who has rightly been given the title of Sheikh al-Islam, Mufti Taqi Usmani. And we know that this Friday that passed, I think the date would have been the 23rd or maybe perhaps the 21st.
Mm.
21st of March, Friday. Mufti Taqi Saab was proceeding for Juma Salah at a masjid in Karachi, which is called Baitul Mukarram, in Gulshan Iqbal.
Yes.
This is a very, very viewed masjid, and it's a central masjid in Karachi. Gulshan Iqbal is a very, very big area, and Mufti Saab performs Juma Day every week. Alhamdulillah, I also had the good fortune of reading one Juma behind him there, and also listening to his beautiful lectures and talks at Baitul Mukarram. So as per his ma'amul and his practice, Mufti Saab was proceeding there, and en route to this Baitul Mukarram from where Mufti Saab lives at Darul Uloom Karachi, which is in Korangi, en route these cowardly attackers came and they started firing on the vehicle in which Mufti Saab and his companions were traveling.
Yes.
So there were actually two vehicles. One was a backup vehicle, and one was the vehicle in which Hazrat Mufti Saab and his wife and his two grandchildren, they were traveling with a security guard and a driver to Baitul Mukarram. And these gunmen on motorcycles, they ambushed these vehicles, and they started firing. wildly, and they opened fire not only once, but they went forward and returned and started firing for the second time. And as a result of this firing, Mufti Saab's two guards became shaheed, and the driver was quite seriously injured. And despite all of that, the driver still drove the vehicle right through to the hospital, with his injuries and everything. But Allah's, you know, mercy and Allah's grace that Hazrat Mufti Saab was spared totally, to the extent that, you know, Mufti Saab himself mentioned after this that, you know, not even a hair of mine was harmed. And he says that this is nothing but a great miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Mufti Saab the safety and protection. His wife too was safe, alhamdulillah. She may have had some very slight injuries because of the flying glass or something like that, and the grandchildren were also safe. But of course, Hazrat Mufti Saab was greatly, you know, disturbed and very, very distraught by the demise of his security companions and the injury to his driver.
Yes.
Now, this incident took place on Friday, the Friday following the Christchurch tragedy. And one would shudder to think, Allah forbid, that, you know, what would have been the outcome if these evil people succeeded in their evil intentions. It would have been a tragedy that would have been very, very great. Allah saved the Ummah from this great tragedy.
Indeed.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, spared the Ummah the loss of a very great alim, personality and scholar of our time. So actually, it is an occasion for us to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to express our gratitude to Allah, that, oh Allah, you are merciful and kind in sparing a great alim of the Ummah, and you saved him and protected him, and we should continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala protect all our ulama, all our mashayikh, all our pious elders, our seniors, and of course the whole Ummah around the world. And you know, it is also an opportunity for us to appreciate these great personalities, to appreciate these scholars for who they are and how much we need them, how the Ummah relies upon them. Because it has been said rightly that mawtul alimi mawtul alam, the death of an alim is actually the death of a realm. It's the death of a world, the death of an alim. Because when the alim goes, then with him goes, you know, mountains of knowledge and light, and the world is plunged into darkness. I think of a mundane example, you know, if you have a substation collapsing or, you know, destroyed, then it's not just one substation that's gone, it means light to thousands of households and businesses in that whole area also go with that substation. The power and the lights go. Obviously, a substation can be repaired and restored or replaced, but how can we ever replace those great personalities once they leave our midst, Maulana?
Indeed. May Allah preserve them.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Yes, so, you know, what has happened subsequently is that there's been great outpourings of outrage and also of support for Mufti Saab from around the world, from our organization here in Durban, Darul Ihsan Center. We immediately emailed our support to Hazrat Mufti Saab and our expression of outrage at this cowardly attack on him and his family, and we express our condolences on the loss of his security personnel and the injury to his other personnel, and we made dua for his safety and protection. And likewise, I think many, many, many ulama and organizations and people from around the world have done so. What was amazing was that Hazrat Mufti Sahab's, his presence of mind, even in the middle of this crisis, many people will become emotionally, disturbed. But Mufti Sahab actually addressed the students after the Asr Salah at Darul Uloom, and, he explained in detail what happened. And he gave them encouragement. And he spoke about, Allah's safety and protection. And in reality, if you go to look at it, Maulana, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states that, اَحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You protect Allah's deen, Allah's orders, and Allah will protect you. اَحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. Protect Allah's laws, protect Allah's deen, and Allah will be in front of you. So it was as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him this divine protection by virtue of his protecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a great alim and scholar, and also protecting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that, in his life, in his actions. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahab is very, 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 very strict in compliance with the laws of the Sharia, the ahkam of deen. Is a person of extreme taqwa and piety. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protected him, and may Allah continue to protect him and safeguard him and his family and all the great ulama, and all the ummatis around the world. There should be our dua at all times to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these personalities.
Ameen, indeed. Tisab, what could be the possible motive of such a horrendous incident?
Yes, Maulana, this is a very, very, very important question. And I think this question has been asked repeatedly, by many people. Obviously, there has to be some kind of agenda, some kind of motive behind an attack like this. Nobody just goes and attacks such a great personality for no reason. This wasn't a random attack of some sort that, he just got into some crossfire. This was a calculated, premeditated, deliberate act of terror, you could call this, an act of terrorism against Mufti Sahab Damd Barkatu. So it will be difficult to pinpoint, the exact cause or reason or who could really be behind it until the investigators don't complete the investigation and able to uncover. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for these evil perpetrators to be, apprehended very quickly and arrested and brought to justice.
Allahumma
ameen. They need to be brought to justice, and they should be meted out the maximum penalties under the law for this act. Nevertheless, there has been some kind of speculation regarding the actual cause or the reason behind it. Some people say that day was Pakistan Day. And obviously, there were many dignitaries from around the world in Karachi at that day. And it was possibly to create fear and panic. And obviously, they had to attack a very high-profile target to create that fear and panic. So that's one possible reason why they chose Hazrat Mufti Sahab as a target, Allah forbid. That was their evil intention. Right, so that's one possibility, was to create panic and fear and to disrupt the National Day proceedings. The other possibility is that they wanted to create unrest, civil unrest, because obviously with the type of profile Mufti Saab has and the thousands of students he has around the whole of Pakistan for that matter, there would have been a terrible uproar. And, you know, people would have been really, really angry and they would have taken to the streets and it would have led to some kind of, you know, chaos and rioting and losses, big losses of life and property and so on.
Mm.
So possibly that was another reason, is to create civil strife and unrest. And, you know, destabilize. The whole idea is to destabilize the country and the people of the country, and the way to do that is by eliminating the great leaders of a country.
Yes.
So that could possibly be a motive, and Allah knows best what other objective they had before them. But let us not forget at the same time that it's not the first time a great alim or personality has been attacked in Pakistan, especially in Karachi.
Mm.
And other parts of Pakistan. Unfortunately, this is a very, very unfortunate, you know, reality in Pakistan, that people like Maulana Haqqani Rahmatullah Ali recently, Maulana was attacked after a rally. I'm forgetting Maulana's first name. From the Darul Uloom Akora Khatak, the principal, Mawlana Samiul Haq, Mawlana Samiul Haq Haqqani, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. This was a very great alim, a very great scholar, very great, and he had withdrawn from public life into a form of privacy, private life, where he was busy writing kitabs and so on, and very unfortunately, who knows, up till today they can't really track what was the motive behind his martyrdom. Mm-hmm. But he was attacked by a knife man after a rally and he was made shaheed. And there's just one recent example, besides many other examples in the recent past. People like Maulana Hassan Jan, Rahmatullah Ali, the Sheikh al-Hadith in Peshawar, also a great alim, a very, very astute politician too. Very well respected and loved by everyone. Mullah Hassan Jan Rahmatullah Ali was also made shaheed. People like Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani Rahmatullah Ali, absolutely harmless person, an extremely knowledgeable and pious scholar of Islam, and going to some program, coming from the program, he also drank from the cup of Shahada. He was not spared too.
Allahu Akbar.
And then we have, you know, like that, Hazrat Mufti Nizamuddin Shamzai Rahmatullah Ali, great alim and personality, great Mufti, Sheikh al-Hadith. He was gunned down by gunmen. Till today, they have not even found the killers. And then there were people like Hazrat Mawlana Habibullah Mukhtar Rahmatullah Ali, who was the son-in-law of Mawlana Yusuf bin Nori Rahmatullah Ali and the deputy principal of Newtown Madrasa in Karachi. Also a very learned, very, very great alim and scholar. A person who was behind closed doors doing tremendous amount of research on hadith and so on. Not even a public figure, but he also was not spared and he was also made shaheed. So I'm just giving you a little glimpse. Maulana Jameel Khan Rahmatullah Ali, also
yes,
a great alim, doing tremendous amount of public work and community work. He set up a lot of you know, this kindergarten and primary schools by the name of Iqra Rawdatul Atfal. And Maulana Jameel Khan Rahmatullah Ali was also made shaheed. And this is just the list of some of the prominent and known ulama. There are scores of others, perhaps many, many more who we, may not have been that high profile, who are also made shaheed in this manner. There have been like targeted killings of ulama particularly, because their enemy, whoever they are, have realized that the way to paralyze the Muslim community spiritually. And in that way, you paralyze them completely. By spiritually paralyzing them, you're actually paralyzing them totally, is to eliminate their spiritual leadership.
Mm.
And those are the ulama. So we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant protection to all the ulama in all parts of the world.
Amen.
And one very significant thing emerged. Some of the guests that went to visit Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuh after this attack, and they discussed with him. And one thing emerged, for example, Mufti Sahib has a daily practice without fail. He reads the dua of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, dua-i Anas as it is called. And the dua of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is an amazing dua in which there is dua for protection from all kinds of harm. Mufti Sahib has been advocating this dua for many, many years, teaching this dua to people, himself reading this dua, and Allahu Akbar, we see the barakat perhaps of these du'as, along with many other factors, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared Mufti Sahib's life, and he was saved and protected through the barakat of the du'a of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to read this du'a very religiously, regularly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from a tyrant like Dajjal, a tyrant like Hajjaj. He was protected from a tyrant like Hajjaj by the barakat of Dua Anas.
Mm.
You know, Hajjaj summons him to his court with the intention of assassinating him, of executing him. But when Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and he was brought in front of Hajjaj, Hajjaj was overwhelmed by fear, despite the fact that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an elderly man, old, frail, weak, and he had no weapons or anything. Hajjaj, I'm calling him Dajjal for some reason, I think it's a slip of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hajjaj was so overwhelmed with fear that he immediately showed a lot of respect for Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he set him free and he released him with great honor.
Mm.
The people were astounded. They said, you know, you called this man here, you summoned him with so much of arrogance and pride, and you know, you expressed your evil intention of actually attacking him and even executing him. And here he is right in front of you. You had the opportunity to do whatever you wanted with him. And you suddenly just release him like that, and that too with so much of honor and dignity. So Hajjaj replied that you people didn't know, you don't know what has happened, you didn't see what I saw. I saw on either side of him two huge lions that were there waiting to protect him. If I had to even lift one finger in his direction, I feared that these two lions would have leapt upon me and they would have devoured me. I was so overtaken by fear by the sight of these two invisible lions that were side by side with him,
Allah,
that I just gave up my evil intention and I realized that it was best for me to release a person like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his beloved and chosen ones in this manner, that even Dajjal, Hajjaj was unable to harm Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an. So this is that dua of Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, and Mufti Sahib has been one who advocates this dua very much. He teaches it to people, and himself has been reading it very, very regularly. And perhaps it is the barakah of such du'as, and of course the du'as of all well-wishers and, you know, all those who love ulama, the du'as of all these people, that has actually been one of the factors for the protection and safety of Mufti Taqi Sahib Hafizahullah and his family.
MashaAllah. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah Khairan for your time, much appreciated. I can't say to you that we hope to chat to you on this slot next week, because There's some changes, inshallah, some shuffling done. So I'll be on another slot. But it has been a pleasure being with you on air at this time, Mufti Saab.
Likewise, Maulana, likewise. I wish you the best on your new slot. And hope all goes well, inshallah. May Allah accept us, our humble efforts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas and sincerity and acceptance, and give us the opportunity to continue in our broken and humble ways to be a source of benefit to the ummah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.